open to receiving your words, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, that's why we come on Sundays. I don't ever want to stop asking that question of myself. Like, what are you doing, Will? It's gotta matter. Thank you for singing. Thank you for focusing on the Lord. Like, you do that and it does what coffee can't. It does. It does what entertainment can't. Oh, man. And so, glad to be here. And I put Sean on the spot and I made him come sit on a stool over here with me. I told him I may throw things and I need someone to hide behind, but no. So, you know, we're supposed to be moving on. If you were following along, we're going through the book of Matthew. We should be on chapter 13 today. Well, God changed my mind on that. You know, the Lord is moving, man. He's active. And he really, you know, was speaking to me also through my wife. He does that really well. She's pretty insightful, and I love her for that. You know, sometimes you come in here and we're praising God and we start reading from the Bible and you feel him moving. And then there's the end of Sunday and then you're supposed to go on, right? A new topic next week. The next verse, what's that going to bring up? I looked forward and in 13 we'll be talking about soil. And I thought, okay. Wow, that's a... Be like a farmer, right, Gary? Just like going out and planting a bunch of crop, wasting a bunch of time and money before you prepared the soil. So I thought, why can't we stop? Why can't this be kind of a weird sermon, Sean? Why can't it be weird and awkward? So I'm going for it. And yesterday I rewrote this. You know how awesome God is? Like, I don't know when Sean picked the songs, but these are better songs for the new sermon that I wrote yesterday than the one I had going on earlier in the week. And you can't tell me God's awesome right there. So grab your Bibles if you would. And we're going to rewind a little bit. Matthew 12, verse 44. So this is where we were, okay, last week. And something that stood out to me, it says this. Then it says, and what it's talking about is it says an unclean spirit. When the unclean spirit goes away from the person. Then it says, 44, I will return to my house from which I came. You see, because there was an unclean spirit, and it says it went away from the person. So where was it? Near in the person. There's a lot of debate about that. But it was near the person, and then it was sent away. And so these are the words of Jesus, and it tells us that this spirit goes out, and it tries to find rest. It tries to find a place, man, to be. And it finds nothing. It's dry. There's no life, man. It's desert. And so what it does, it tries to come back to the house, the life from which it came. And when it comes, here's what's awesome. It finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. But it was empty. Then it goes and brings with it, house party style, right? Seven other spirits more evil than itself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. Like, you read through that really fast, you don't think about it, but an observation. What I see is a God who delivers us, who offers freedom and offers no strings, man. Like, he just cuts the strings. He unchains you. He gives you freedom. There's joy. There's life. And then I don't always see that in those of us who go to church. And I think all of us are asking this question all the time. And we look for an answer. And then maybe the answer is like, okay, more church, more Bible. None of those are really bad answers. But But it's got to be, what's going on? Like, I observe this and I want to know what's going on. And then I read this. And so that's what it hit me. Every day we talk about cleaning the house. Christians, we'll spend so much time about what we're against and so little time what we're for. We're so focused on the things that we're against. Know this, know that, not yes to what God has for us. Okay, Will, you're rambling, you're losing me. No, understand, like, I think before we move on, why not take a little time and figure out what is it that we need to do so that we don't have this empty house? Because I'm tired of feeling that way myself. I'm tired of seeing that way. We spend so much time, man, a great time. You're in tears. You clean your house. You go home. It's empty, and then it comes back worse, right? This great moment, and then the person goes away, and I don't see them for 4 months. And you're like, oh, Will, you should have heard what happened to my life after that day. Seven came back. Because Paul said this in Ephesians 6:12. He said, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I don't want to talk about spiritual warfare. Well, it wants to talk about you. Yeah. It's coming for you. This is just the way it works. Let's not, you know, I've heard it said, you know, sometimes you just need Tylenol, but sometimes you need prayer, right? So we'll take Tylenol and we'll pray. And we'll knock this thing out with the help of the Lord. So the problem is this. See, sin, the way that the Bible explains it and the way you can observe it too. And tell me if this is not true. And you're always welcome to chime in, man, but I just wanted to make you feel awkward and have you stand up here so that way, with your guitar. See, gotta love Sean. You guys, I don't know if all of you got to meet. This is Sean Gossick. Sean's an awesome brother. He sings pretty too. I mean, but he's a great guy. But here's what I can tell you is this is for sure true, without a doubt. The Bible says it. It's true. You ask God to reveal it to you. See, sin is the way in which evil gets into our life. Sin is the way in which evil gets into our life. You open the door and the enemy busts it down. So it's no wonder we get into the sin maintenance situation. You just want to avoid sin. I get it, okay? Well, we resist evil, turning from sin, right? It says if we resist, the devil will flee from us. And it's true. We resist evil, the simple no, the simple turning of the face, closing of the eyes. No, I'm not going to go there. Hey, there's 20 extra dollars in the ATM machine. No, I'm taking it back in. I mean, these things, we're standing for good. We're standing against evil. We're not letting sin get in our life. We're not letting the devil get a foothold in our life. All that says true. Now, see, if sin stays in your life, it kills, it steals, and it destroys. So what are you doing? Well, this is what it said. We got to clean the house. We got to clean the house. We've got to kick evil out of our inner life. We got to kick it out of our inner life. We end our relationship. I wrote this down as a note for myself. We end our relationship with the lies and sins that enslave us. I mean, do I realize those things that we believe are untrue, we believe them so long and so completely that we consider it part of us? Yep. And it's these lies because we're stuck in the middle of this battle between truth and lies. And see, this is what I'm sure you probably encountered this too, Sean, but this is what we run into is you begin to think, fear or anger or justified lust or justified, you know, selfishness, like a hardened relationship, it becomes such a part of you, you no longer see it as sin. It like has the guest room in your house, in your inner life. It's just there. It's just the guy on the couch. We don't think about him that much. He's just the guy on the couch. We just leave him be. It's part of us. It's not even something when I go to church and the Holy Spirit starts moving. I'm not even willing to go to the fact that maybe I should kick that guy off the couch and get him out of my house. And it's rooted in these lies and these slaves and these behaviors. And we offer the part of us that wants to go back to that sin. We offer it up to be killed, is what it said. Be killed. This is why we're asked to be made new, to be born again. Wow, Will, you're just throwing a whole lot of Christian sayings out there. And how do you avoid that? But you see, you begin to see there's like the sin in my life and I accept it. And then pretty soon there's more loud whispers, right? Because the enemy goes out, it brings people with me. It wants to pull me back deeper. It's why the pastor used to love God and now he loves crack, right? In our world, the pastor's like, yay, God, and now, like, God maybe doesn't exist. And the missionary used to trust everything, life, health, food, everything to God, and Christians giving him money to live overseas. And now, no God, no church, no Christians. I don't want that to happen. I don't want that to happen. Well, that's Will, you're talking about repentance, right? You're talking about turning away. You're talking about stopping that, cleaning the house. Yeah, I am. We've got to do that. We've got to do that. So, I mean, I ask you this question. We're going to pray first because we got to clean the house before we go on to the next part. But a couple questions I had for you. Could you identify a lie? Just something simple. Let's quit talking about it. Let's do something, okay? You're not going to get healing and whole here on Sunday. It's going to be a day-to-day thing. I got grout in my fingernails. I'm not a handy person, okay? But I'm fixing stuff in my house, and God is walking step by step with me. And he's showing me in the middle of these difficult processes, sometimes in the end, he steps back and says, look what we've done, Will. And I've gotten this weird three-letter word called joy out of it. Which is very odd, right? Because I was the guy going to get smarter, Jim, so I could hire someone who was handy because I wasn't. And God's like, I have a different way. I'm growing you up, Will. I'm teaching you something new. So stick with me. And so that's why this is odd. Well, why don't you just say a sermon so I can go home? No. Like, what lie is it in you that you believe? What is it that you're operating? What is the guy on the couch? You know, if I asked it differently, what sin is it? I mean, it's easy. Maybe sin sometimes, big sin problems. You call them sin. You know it's bad. It's the big ones. Whatever it is, I have this problem. I have this addiction. I always act this way. Those are glaring. And if you're going day to day, running to that sin to be refilled, and it's not working, you know that, and you feel shame. And it's like that loud house guest in the house. Like, we got to kick him out. Okay? But now, what about that little one? I just don't trust anyone. Everyone's out to get me, Will. Like, yeah, this is my, you know, I've been married before. Now I'm married again. I can't really trust this person. Or, you know, church, like, you're just all going to hurt me. Yeah, probably. I don't trust you. It's anger. Like, I think control is what makes me feel better. It's not a problem, though. You know, anger. I'm always angry. It's like money. Money's my God. You know, doing, you know, TV. Like, I have to have TV every time I'm at home. It's these little hidden things. Is TV bad? No. Is God angry at you if you drink a beer? I don't believe so, based on what the Bible says, okay? Is it wrong that you get angry sometimes? No, not necessarily if you're not staying in that. But it's these little house guests that just become part of where you live. Those are lies. Those are lies. Maybe it's that lie like, I'm not good enough. You know, Sean, maybe it's a lie. I don't deserve good things. Is there something you really want to say, man? Yeah. Oh, see if he's got that there. Is that going to? That's all the way.
There we go.
There we go.
I just wanted to point out one of the words that stuck out to me in what's up there on the screen right now was kick. This isn't a word of passivity. This isn't a word of, you know, this is an action word. This is a word that calls to immediate action even. So it's not that we can just pick evil up and set it outside the door. This is calling us to action immediately. And I just wanted to point that out.
No, thank you for that. But yeah, it's, and that's the thing, once you identify it, you have to kick these things out. You have to take action. You know what, Will, if I'm honest, like if I'm honest, like I've always been insecure, right, about how I fit in the world of men. I've always been insecure about how I look and confident. And you don't get it because what you see is me talking. Like, I feel smart enough. The world told me I'm smart. I can get an A. Like, I did that. Like, but the lie is that's what's important about me. And that's what matters. That I'm smart. That I could say something that you would like. Like, that's the crappy guy on the couch. Right? That's the guy, because then every day I want everyone's approval of me. And then when I approach things where it's like, okay, in the company of men, we get together, I don't quite fit in, you know? I'm not the best hunter, not that I don't like it, you know? I don't know about guns like Jim. I got one. I haven't shot it in a decade, you know? I get nervous when I do things with my hands, you know? This is part of me, and like, I want to live free. I want to live together. You kick it in the face, and that's what you do. You do grout. When that's what scares you. You do an action. And I know I'm using that and it sounds harmless, but it is. And you can see a difference. I'm not shaking when I change the light bulb, but it was that way when I was 19. Right? Well, this is harmless. What does it have to do with your soul? I'm talking about freedom. I'm talking about being alive. Let's do that. Let's do that. Let's stop this, because it'll be infectious. It will be infectious. That will be your ministry everywhere that you go. My brother Smitty came over. He's been helping me. We bled from the head together, okay? He's been helping me. But he doesn't know it, and I'm going to put him on the spot. He was working, and he whistled, okay? He whistled while he worked. He had a screwdriver. He had it on the end of a screw, and it kept slipping off. And in Will's world, I like sledgehammers. If you don't know, that's the part of construction I like, is demo. So trying to do the screwdriver and the screw keeps getting away from me, I just want to take a sledgehammer through the wall instead of the screw, because I am just not enjoying this, because I'm not in my comfort zone. Why? Because I'm operating out of a lie. I'm operating out of this lie. Come on. How hard is that? Why would I be afraid of that? But calculus doesn't scare me, okay? Why would that be? That's a lie, right? Why can't you approach your wife, men, and be strong? What lies do you believe about yourself? Women, how come you can't open yourself up to your husband and other women around you? How can we keep talking about women's ministry and you stay home and you don't want to be known? How come you hide because there's these lies about not being good enough, about not fitting in, about not having what it takes? And like, that's where we got to clean house. Yeah, sure, stop doing drugs. Don't look at those websites. Okay? Don't drink yourself to sleep every night. If that's, you got to deal with that. You got to pray against that. But I want to talk about the little guy on the couch, man. And what Smitty showed me is he whistled and he's screwing that in and it got off the end of the screwdriver. And he goes, "Get back here, you." And then he kept going. And he wouldn't even remember that. But I'm like, see, that's a posture in a position in that moment that taught me. I'm like, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Because God's called you to do things. He steps out. There's supposed to be joy in it when you do it with him. And maybe even construction, right? Maybe even, you know, raising your kids, doing your job. Maybe even teaching nursery and preschool. You can begin to see. And that's what you guys did today. There were just songs, and you knew them. But you weren't manipulated to worship. You chose to worship. You looked at that. How great is our God? And you sang so loud we didn't need instruments. Like, that's awesome. Let's pray about this. Lord, I ask you right now, I'm thinking about lies. I'm thinking about the way that we agree to those lies. Some would call them agreements. Like, no, you know, you're right. I'm not smart enough to do this. You know, that's true. Like, I'm going to get hurt if I open myself up. There's something really wrong with me, and so I hide back. Father, we can't even see the dust in our house, in our inner life. So I ask that you'd point this out. Friends, this is how I do it. Lord, I'm still struggling with thinking I don't have what it takes. Like, I can't be confident in the man who I am. And I know the enemy whispers to me that that's true. That's true. Well, it's true about you, you know? And I'm like, yeah. It is true. And then I act that way. No, I don't want to do that anymore. So God, no, I break the fact that I agreed with that. I break that agreement. I tear it down. Like, I'm not broken in that. And all the broken pieces in me, there's one that can put them together, and it's you. And I look to you, God, because when I go to those places where I don't feel confident, where I don't feel comfortable. Maybe it's the woman, and I don't feel pretty enough or smart enough, or I don't fit in with other women because the way I was raised, or man, I don't like pedicure. I don't like a manicure. I don't like my hair. I can't lose the weight. I don't know how to pray. Like, if they found out about me, they would know the type of mom I am, or the type of wife I am, or I'm afraid my wife would reject me. If I go to her, I'm afraid my kids would hate me if I stood up to them. I can't be a spiritual leader in my house. It's not true, guys. It's not true. Like, God is the one that makes all those things, and Lord, only in your power can we do it. So we break those agreements and we reposition ourselves and we look to you. Help me to be the man you want me to be. Help me to be the woman you want me to be. Show me I'm handsome. Show me I'm beautiful. Show me I'm worth loving. Show me I can be a friend. Show me that there's more than one way to be a man, more than one way. Be a woman. Forgive me of the sin. Forgive me for those things I've run to numb that pain. I cheated on you, God. I come to you now. Cleanse our house. Forgive me of my sins. Just wipe me clean. Wash me. Cool water of your love. Thank you, Lord. So the house was empty and they came back in. You see, it's great that you clean the house, but it's more than that. It's why we keep gathering together, why we don't forsake that, because in our inner life, our inner self, we thank God for the house cleaning, like some kind of house cleaner, and then we send them off. Don't make the house empty. You see, Jesus is always waiting for an invitation into our lives, and for some reason, we're always willing to take his salvation. Like, no hell? Yeah, I sign up there. But Jesus is Lord? Jesus is the one that's the boss that tells me what to do, that tells me who I am? We won't take it from him. We won't invite him in. And so, Lord, we invite you right now. Like, all I want to do is just spend a little time together with you. I want us to meet with Jesus. I want to get to know you more. I want to know your ways. I want to be aware of your presence. I want to see you at work as I look around. You know, the music, you put the music together. You gave it to Sean. They practiced it, and then you gave me a sermon to go with it. What? This is awesome. Be aware. Be in posture of how awesome God is. Follow him. Do what he asked you to do. And so, God, I want to share this, not my words, but my heart, and I want to say this with my friends, and whether you keep your eyes closed or open, that's up to you guys. It's just, Lord, you are so glorious. You're set apart, you're different, you're better than me, and I use that word glorious, glory, what does that mean? But you're better, you're higher, you're set apart. Like, I can't even sit down when I'm thinking about it because it's awesome. And I forget how awesome you are. And I think you're like me and that you'll let me down, but you won't because you are self-existent. What's that mean? It's that you had no beginning. You don't need my help. You don't need my wisdom. You don't need my direction. You are more than enough. And all my feeling not enough, I pose it on you, and I'm sorry, you're more than enough. You are eternal. You have been always, and you always will be. You see the way it all ends. You know all the days of my life. You are unchanging. I don't have to worry about a curveball from you, God. You are unchanging. You are omniscient. You know all things, it says in Job. You are love. When we were still sinners, even though I keep doing that, I keep like the dog going back to my vomit. I want to destroy myself for some reason, but you won't let me. You love me always. Your love. Your love, I can't understand, right? I can't measure how long it is, how deep it is, how wide it is. It doesn't seem to run out. I can't seem to lose it or shake it. You are wise. You're omnipotent, almighty. You're the source of all strength. You're all powerful. The whole reason the earth doesn't rotate, Lord, off of its axis into space. The reason why Armageddon, the movie, doesn't come to life with a meteor hitting us is because of you. You are holy. You're set apart. I can't even understand you. So all I could do is love you and know you and watch you. You are infinite. You're limitless. You can move mountains. You can fix relationships. You make cancer disappear every day. And some days you just take the people home with you who are sick and you heal them completely that way. But there's no limit to you. You're omnipresent. You're everywhere. Thank goodness I don't have to go to Sean's house to find you. He's at my house too. He's with me. You're with me, Lord. You're faithful. You keep your promises, God. You're good. It's kind. Your heart is kind and full of blessings towards us. God, I admit sometimes I just maybe think you don't want good for me. But you are good. And you're merciful. Man, what I deserve, I don't get. Thank you. You're just. You're just. That's hard sometimes because I have to give up my need to bring justice. But even in that, you're gracious. And you're sovereign. You alone have all authority. And so the things that happened to me, Lord, they're not snuck by you. You didn't lose control like Job. You were in control. Even when he couldn't hear you, even when he struggled through that, you were still there. You are majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, and working wonders. You're transcendent. You are completely above and beyond, boundless, matchless, incomparable, peerless, perfect, unequaled, unique, and absolute. You are God, and there's none like you, says in Exodus. Grace, open your eyes, look up. Yeah, Lord, fill us up. Fill us up, because we don't want the victories taken back. Like, you are loved so much. And I don't say this like someone just wanting to talk about rosy and colorful and beautiful things, you know, rainbows and unicorns like we always joke about, but you are loved. Like, I am loved. Man, I had nothing this morning in me. And God filled me up. He didn't have to. And there's no way I deserve his love. No way I deserve your love. And yet we come together every week and we encourage each other. Like, you are love, so those lies you believe, no. And you can hear from a God, because you are his sheep and his sheep hear his voice, and he will talk to you. But when they come knocking, and the guy's like, it's just me, guy on the couch. Insecurity and anger and hurt and pain. Can I come back in? You know you miss me. You know you miss me. No, Lord, kick him out. Tell me who I am. There's stuff like this everywhere. God, you are so good and you forget it. So why take this time, you know? Why I always do a sermon? Why not follow God? Why not know God's so good? He's so good. He loves us so much. But Will, you don't know what's going on. I know, but no matter what happens, like if that comes together, if that breaks apart, if you get better, if you get worse, if you lose all the things. I came in this world naked. And without anything. And that's how I'll leave. It's a great equalizer. So let me ask the praise team to come forward. We're gonna sing a little bit, and we're gonna praise. And I think about how good God is. And I've got a couple stories here, but I just wanna share one. In Genesis 22, there was a guy named Abraham. And you see, Abraham had heard from God, and he'd been following him. And part of Abraham's story is he came from a wealthy family, had land, had people that they owned, and God revealed himself to Abraham. And he told Abraham, let's go this way. Set aside these things. Go this way, and I have a promise for you to prosper you. And so Abraham went, and he went with his wife, and they couldn't have any kids, and the years flew by. And they got so old, they thought, that's not going to happen. I don't know. Maybe I misheard God. And a lot of things happened. They took one of the servant girls, had a kid with her, and then miraculously his aged wife became pregnant. They had a son named Isaac. Yeah, right? I love that because there's these things I'm still waiting on. And you too, right? These things that you want to see happen and you're not sure. And maybe some of those are promised to you by God. Maybe you're still hoping in some of those. And he gets his son and he is worshiping with the Lord. Like what we did. Focusing on who God is. Singing. And then he tells Abraham after all of this time, a whole life in this one boy, and he takes the boy and they go up on the mount and they bring wood and there's no sheep, there's no anything to sacrifice. And God asks him, he puts the wood out, he ties up his son. Insane, right? Insane in our eyes. The faithfulness of this guy. He ties up his son and he has the knife and he's gonna kill him. But oddly enough, you know what? He told the guys down the mountain, we're gonna go up and worship and then we will be back. But he's gonna kill his son. How are we gonna be back? I don't know, Abraham. I couldn't interview him, but somehow he knew we would be back. And he went up there and he had just worshiped. And he was asked to do something ridiculous that seemed to be not make sense, that seemed to be too hard for anyone to do, much harder than he's ever asked me to do. This one boy, right? Could they duplicate that again with his older wife and with him? And he took the knife and he was going to kill him. And then all of a sudden God stopped him. And over here, animal. In the thicket, right? He had a sacrifice. They came down. And even today, somewhere around here, there's another new child of God. And it's God still fulfilling his promise to Abraham, saying, you know, you're going to have so many kids, Abraham. It's like all those stars in the sky, or like all the sand on the beach. And we sang, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you, right? Thousands of years later, God is keeping his promises. But what I thought was interesting is he worshiped before he was obedient. He worshiped before the sacrifice. And Gideon, you know, he had a big army. Didn't think he was worthy, called on to fight a battle for God. And God's like, yeah, that's too many guys to face them. And he kept making the army smaller till it was 300. Not with 300 guys, right? Insane again. Like insurmountable things that shouldn't happen. This is in Judges 6 and 7. But it says that Gideon was with the Lord. And then he did what the Lord asked him to do. And the Lord gave him victory. So, here's what I want to do. Ellie, would you go down with the lights? So we've been worshiping, and why do this? This is what I want you to do at your house, worship. And so I want to come before the Lord and praise him. If you guys would just play quietly, we're going to close out with a little prayer here. Lord, we need your help, but we know that you're more than enough. Sometimes we come to you like you can't take care of this, but you are. We've been with you today. We've been singing. We've been talking about how awesome you are, and you've been raising up in us these things, these lies, these agreements, and these sins. So Lord, speak to us. Like Abraham before us, like Gideon, like Job. We're with you. We're We're looking to you. So lead us. Let us follow you. If it's in agreement, let's disagree. Let's break it. If it's a lie, give us truth. If it's a sin, let's turn away from it. Because you are a God and you love us. And you're completely dependable and all powerful. So, Lord, we're going to sing and you do your work in us. Make us whole. I surrender.
Praise Jesus through it all.